We are going through the book of Ephesians, and today we are headed into a passage that we're going to dig into for 2 weeks. We're going to stay right here for the next 2 weeks, because right here, Paul makes it clear what happens to you when you become a Christian. And here's why this matters so much, because we got people and even churches today that act and talk as if being a Christian is nothing more than trying to be nice, trying to clean up your life a little bit, and trying to do some good in this world. But that's not what you're going to see Paul talking about at all. Instead, Paul talks about a radical, it is radical, reorientation that changes forever where you stand, what you see, and how you live. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. And you follow along as I read. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. He's talked about earlier in the chapter how the unbelievers live, how the rest of our world lives, how we lived before we knew Christ. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time, you were darkness. But now, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. How does Paul describe this new life in Christ? Unlike how the world talks, unlike how even some churches talk, unlike how people would like to believe, how does Paul describe new life in Christ? Well, here's the first thing he wants you to get a hold of. Number one, when you're a Christian, you belong to a new, absolutely new kingdom now. It's what he's talking about in verse 8. Look at it again. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light. You were darkness, but now, were, but now, were, but now. Critical, much more powerful and radical than how other people talk. You were darkness, but now you are light. There couldn't be a bigger, better, or more radical way of describing it. From darkness to light. Darkness to light. And that's because the Bible teaches that there are two realms or two kingdoms that every human being lives in. You realize that's how the Bible talks. It doesn't divide us up by skin color, education, ethnicity, politics. Nope. Every human being alive is in one of two realms or kingdoms. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of light. And oh, hang on. There is no gray middle ground. People like to act like there is, talk like there is, live like there is. There is no gray middle ground. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of light. And let me help you. If you're listening and you've never yet put your faith in Christ, submitted your life to Christ, said, "Yes, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner," then you're in the kingdom of darkness. Because you don't have to choose it. You're born into it. Every human being is born a lost sinner, separated from God, a child of darkness. Oh, I know they look delightful. I've got 3 grandkids now, another one on the way. I mean, I could kiss their little fat neck all day long. But I have to go with what the Bible says, that they are born not already innocent, delightful, wonderful creatures who love God, and as they land in public school, they learn to hate Him. No. Homeschool, Christian school, public school, until you are saved, you are a child of darkness, lost. A lost sinner. A lost sinner. Doesn't matter what family you arrive in, what part of the nation, what country, lost. That's the only condition for everyone right now listening to me. You are either in the kingdom of darkness or in the kingdom of light. By birth, you don't choose it. You're born into it. And so Paul gets right to the heart of what it means to be a Christian. When he says, you were darkness, but now you are light. Notice he doesn't say, here's where people get confused. He doesn't say, oh, you weren't baptized, but now you are. There are entire churches that teach when you get baptized, that washes away your sins. When you get baptized, when you get sprinkled as a baby, that washes away your sins and now you're right with God. Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus never said that. He doesn't say you weren't baptized, but now you are. He doesn't say you weren't going to church, but now you are. He doesn't say you weren't reading. Do I talk about reading the Bible? Louder. But he doesn't say you weren't reading the Bible and now you are. He doesn't say, have I talked about giving away some of your money? He doesn't say you weren't giving away any of your money, but now you are. You weren't trying to keep the golden rule, but now you are. You weren't nice. You were mean and hateful, but now you're trying to be nice. He doesn't point to any new behavior. Instead, he points to a radical new realm or place of standing. That here's where you stand now. Here's where you are now. Kingdom, realm, new place of standing. He doesn't point to any new behavior, but a radical new realm or kingdom in which you stand now. How did it happen from darkness to light? When you put your faith in what Jesus has done and not what you're trying to do. Now here's where the confusion comes in. When you're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, do you begin to do some new things you never did before? Oh, yeah, you want to be with the people of God. You want to read the word of God. You have a new heart that says, I can trust God with my money. He's going to take care of us. You give some money away. You read his word to know him and it's food for you. You want to be with the people of God. And you get baptized as a public declaration saying, I am not ashamed. I want everyone to know I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Jesus saved me. All of this new behavior is because of a new kingdom and realm. It doesn't get you into a new kingdom or realm. Paul doesn't point. Now, these chapters, 4, 5, and 6, is he pushing all kinds of new behavior? That was weak. Yes! Get it together with your mouth. Stop jumping from bed to bed. Get it together with your sexuality. Get it together with church unity. Get it together. Get it together. Live differently. But oh my goodness. Again, here's a chapter where he's pushing new things you should do. But he knew in that day, just like I know in this day, he's got to continually come back and remind you, but you don't do new things to become a new person. You do new things because you are. Live in light of who you are. Live in light of who you are. You're not a slave to sin anymore. He moved you from. You're not blind anymore. You don't have a heart of stone anymore. So, oh, he wants to be clear, and I want to be clear. New realm, new kingdom, not new behavior got you there. And it's the same thing. Here's what I love about the Bible. Do you think I like the Bible? Here's what I love about the Bible. is you don't just see, well, there it is, and I wish he said it more, because that's kind of confusing. The things I push you guys, you'll see the theme all through the Bible. The longer I live, the more I read my Bible, the more I love how he just brings to my mind, oh, if this passage is saying that, that reminds me of this passage, that reminds me of this. That's why I keep reading the whole Bible every year, and it just starts to come together, you guys. And some of you will say, Brad, how do you know all these verses? It took time. I'm 62. But you just keep reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it, and you have an awareness of, whoo, and then you have much more confidence. When you see stuff, you're like, he's not just saying it there. I know he said that here, and he said that here, and it just excites me to mark up my Bible. And then in that margin, I write down, hey, that's just like 1 Peter 2. Hey, that's just like 1 Peter 2. What Paul is saying is the same thing Peter was saying. But you, and Peter's talking to Christians who have been saved from all kinds of ethnicities, you are a chosen race. He's not talking about a certain nation. He's not talking about a country with borders you can find on a map. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You realize Christians, wherever we live all over the world, we're in America, are a nation within a nation. That's why we're supposed to act like it. When your temporary nation begins to do things you don't like, pray, vote, but sleep well, because you're a nation within a nation. You're a citizen of a greater kingdom. You are a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Nothing else is supposed to possess me. Not the Bengals, not the Republicans, not the Democrats. No other allegiance in this world is supposed to possess me. You are his possession. You've been bought with a price. Your first allegiance now is Jesus Christ. Kingdom of Jesus. Kingdom of Jesus. Kingdom of Jesus. His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. Now, he's going to tell you now, why do I have anything to praise him for? Why do I have anything I'd want to proclaim? Why is there anything I would get excited about and actually tell somebody else about? He's going to tell you that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. See if this doesn't sound just like Paul, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There it is again. And he's going to unpack it some more. Verse 10, once, see how similar this sounds? Once, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You hear how Peter is using that same but now language as Paul? You were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It is all about who you are and what you have now because of what he's done, not what you are trying to do. Who you are, we're the people of God. What you have, we're objects of mercy. Object. You realize the word mercy is, you don't give someone what they deserve. Since we're lost sinners from birth, what do we deserve? Hell. Hell, destruction, judgment. You're not who you were, and you're not getting what you should have gotten because of what Jesus has done in your place. What Jesus has done is who you are, what you have. Who you are, what you have, because of what he's done, not what you're trying to do. And so if you say you're a Christian, if you're sitting here now and your mind's been whirling since the introduction, thinking, okay, I think I am. If you say you are a Christian, there has to be a but now moment. Has to be a but, not, oh, I decided to be nice. I decided to clean up my life. I decided to try to do some good in this world. There has to be a but now moment where you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. A but now moment where the light of God's truth and God's Son and God's hope exploded for you and transferred you into a new place of standing or realm or kingdom now. You were, but now you are, you have, because of him, because of him. And so that's why when I ask someone, are you a Christian? And they say, I hear this, oh, I'm trying to be a Christian. I know they have no idea what it actually means to be a Christian. You don't try to be a Christian. Now, let me make a distinction here. I know this can get confusing. When you are, do you have a new desire to make effort to please him because of what he's done? Oh, yeah. But you're not trying to be a Christian. You know you're a Christian. And so now you have a heart to follow him. And I want to please him. I want to please him. I want to please him. But this whole, I'm trying to be a Christian. Salvation is not about your effort to put forth more effort to move up the spiritual ladder. To move up the spiritual ladder. It's about where you stand now and what realm you're in now because of what he's done and not what you're trying to do. It's very different. So Christians are over here. Are we trying to live different in a dark day and swim upstream in a day that more and more like is almost everything the Bible tells me to do is not what the culture says anymore? Whoo! Okay, yeah. Are there things I got to do? And does this feel like I'm putting forth effort? But here's the difference, you guys. It's never exhausting and it's never discouraging. If you're over here thinking, I'm trying to earn his favor, I'm trying to win his love, I'm trying to do enough for him to say, yep, you met the standard, come on in. This is exhausting. When you know who you are, when you know what you have, and you know your kingdom you're in, you can just keep doing this. You can do it. Very different motive, very different heart. Does that make sense? The people who constantly say, I just can't do it. My oldest son, Harrison, got saved in 2019. He had heard the gospel, you think? He grew up in my home. I tried to make this clear. And he would say all the time, Dad, oh, I try to be a Christian. I just can't do it. And he would make a decision at camp. He'd throw a stick in the fire. He'd walk the trail. He. And it never lasted. And there was no fruit, no evidence. And then he just said, I can't do it. I can't. When I hear people say, I can't be a Christian, I can't do it. You don't understand what it means to be a Christian. Of course you can't do it. That would be exhausting. He does it. What you haven't done yet is submit your life to Christ and say, yes, Lord Jesus. And when Harrison texted me one Sunday afternoon as I sat in the driveway reading a book and said, oh, Dad, I think God has saved me. Well, that wasn't my first thought. I was like, here we go again. I'm tired of riding the ride. This is so discouraging. I get hopeful. I get excited. And then, poof. So like, let's just see what. And from a distance, I think he knew what I was thinking. There's a pause. You know how texts will go dot, 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 gray for a little bit. Dot, 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 dot. This person's still doing something. I was like, please be doing something else. And then it came in. Dad, this is not me trying harder to be a Christian. This is what God has done. Oh, and then did he begin to live differently? Yes. Oh my goodness, he was kind to old people. He was kind to us. Just all kinds of things changed. But it changed because he was changed. God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. And it's not exhausting when God does it. This is what we're talking about. It's not you trying to be a Christian. It's you submitting to a new king, Jesus. And he takes you out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. Then he gives you his Holy Spirit that enables you and empowers you. Then the Bible makes sense as you read it. Then you want to be with the people of God. Then you pray. Then all kinds of things begin to change. But it's because first, this huge change took place. I'm not in darkness. I'm in light. I have a new standing, a new realm in which. And so that explains that passage. If you ever thought, I don't really get 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you're like, whew, a lot of things didn't pass away. I'm still tempted by this. I'm still tempted by that. This old habit I had. What he means that passed away, you guys, and what he means has changed is you were in a kingdom of darkness and you're in a kingdom of light now. You were a slave to Satan and now you, that slavery's been broken. I'm a child of the king. I'm a child of the king. That is radically, that's what he's talking about. Your standing, your realm. Old things have passed away. Behold, new. I mean, it's a pretty big deal to go from darkness to light. We could call that new, new, new. Whew. You belong to a new kingdom. But what else does Paul say it means to be a Christian? Number two, he says, oh, you have a brand new identity. A brand new identity now. Again, I'm going to push this some more. We live in a day that's all about, you know, subgroups and tribes, and it's just gotten worse, even among Christians. Our biggest identity is not my skin color. It's not a political affiliation. It's not my country and my flag. Oh, my goodness, your identity now is in Christ. In Christ. In, that's what identifies me. That's what identifies me more than anything else. That's what he's talking about in verse 8. Look at it again. Verse 8, you are light. And then three words, critical prepositional phrase right here. What are those three words? In the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord. You're in the Lord now. All that prepositional phrase, in the Lord, captures what being a Christian is all about. Because that phrase, in the Lord, right there in chapter 5, is like a hyperlink. You know when you're reading online and something's in blue and all you got to do is click it and it'll take you somewhere else? That phrase should take you somewhere else. Back to the first three chapters of Ephesians, where Paul has already made it so clear. He said it over and over and over and over and over in chapters 1-3, that everything you have now and everything you are now is because of who you are now in, say it, Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So let's hyperlink it and go back. I'm just going to give you a sampler platter. This is not everything. But oh, remember what he said in chapters 1 and 2. Because here's what's going on. The moment you believed in Christ, gave him your life, trusted him, submitted to him, at that moment, you were bonded to Christ. You were placed in Christ. In Christ, you were united to Christ, which means chapter 1, he says, you are faithful in Christ Jesus. He's blessed us in Christ Jesus with every blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He's blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood. In him we have obtained an inheritance. In him you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then in chapter 2 he just ramps it up and says, but God made us alive together with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places. And he's not saying he's going to do this, you guys. He's saying it's done. It's done. That's your position. That's your standing. That's your realm. I know you don't feel it, but that's the truth of God. You go with what you know, not what you feel. What you know, not what you feel. Seated us in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In Christ, with Christ, in Christ, with Christ, in Christ, with Christ. You are either in Christ or you're not. He is either your Savior or you're still trying to be your own Savior. You're either resting in everything he's done, or you're still trying to do what you think you need to do to please God. So let me ask you, what about you? Are you still trying to be a Christian? Or do you have? Do you celebrate? Do you delight in? Do you revel in what Paul's talking about? That you belong to a new kingdom and you have a new identity. That's what it means to be a Christian. Oh, but there's more. As good as that is, there's more. Number three. So you belong to a new kingdom. You have a new identity. And then he says this. Number three. Ooh, you see things you never saw before. You can see things you never saw before. Now, I'm not talking about, oh, I saw my grandmother on the edge of the bed and Elvis was there also. No. No. I don't expect to ever see an angel. I don't ever expect to see my grandmother again, and she's not the butterfly that landed on that flower. No! Tell you something better than grandma or Elvis. Oh, my word. Have you not noticed, those of you that know Christ? All of a sudden, it's the same world. Birds are more glorious than they were. Colors are brighter than they were. Every little pleasure in life, whether it's food, music, an ocean, a mountain, it's all better. It's all better. It was all right there. I see things I couldn't see before. Stay with me. Both in this world and in another one. Amen. That's a lot more sight. In other words, I got a pair of glasses I had on this morning for Bible reading at home because I just can't see. And they're bifocals, and they're ugly, and they're thick as Coke bottle bottoms. And I don't care because I'm alone. I don't have to look good, but I do want to see. And I mean, there's this ugly line through the middle, but man, it works. When I look down, boom, words. And when I tilt my head back a little bit, boom, distance. And I choose, and I bob back and forth some mornings. I'd like to see outside. I want to see that bird. I want to see the Bible. I want to see that bird. I want to see the Bible. This is fun. I see here. I see there. I see here. I see there. I have glasses on right now that I don't see any of it really good. I'm like, eh. And I'm type A. I want it good. My eye doctor finally said to me, you have a brain that is not happy with anything but just like crystal clear. I'm like, there's other people that don't want that? Yeah. He said, there's people that just don't care. I don't understand you. I want it sharp. I want it brilliant. I want it clear, clear, clear. And I get it with bifocals. Guess what? When you come to faith in Christ, it's like a set of bifocals now. I see more right here, right now, finite. Tilt your head back. And I see distance, eternity, in a way I never saw. And you get to live seeing both. Does that encourage you? Does that help you when you don't just live with everything blurry or don't just live with right here, right now? Oh my goodness, when I can see distance and be aware of eternity. He bleeds eternity in my finite right here constantly, constantly, constantly. It just bleeds in. It just bleeds in. It just bleeds in. You see things you never saw before. Look at what he says in verse 9. For the fruit of light. Okay, so you're in light now. You were in darkness. What's it look like? What's some of the fruit? Oh. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. It's found in all that is good and right and true. You know what Paul's saying? He's talking about how you can't even see what is good. We got a world right now, right? Isaiah 5:20 says, and they call evil good and good evil. You read 2 Timothy 3 and it says, despisers of good, brutal. You can't see good. You don't appreciate good. You don't want good. You can't see truth. In fact, they deny truth exists, right? There is no absolute truth. You get saved and you can for the first time see all that is good and true and right. And that really helps you live life. It's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians. Again, this passage connects to so many other passages because these truths are all through the Bible. This is what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians. That your problem is not just that you were born in darkness. Sometimes we think the problem is all the darkness around me. Ooh, it's worse than that. It's the darkness inside you that blinds you to anything good. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 4. Paul says this, Satan, who is the God, little g, not big G, but God, for whatever reason, he doesn't tell us, has given Satan still a measure of leeway and freedom in this world. He's on a leash. God is sovereign and in control, but our enemy Satan, in many ways, is the little god of this world wreaking havoc. Satan, who is the god of this world, look what he does, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Let me help you. Do I try to start gospel conversations and share the good news? Yes. I hope you do too. Don't beat yourself up and say, well, I guess I'm not Brad. I just don't say this as well as Brad. Get over that. Here's the biggest problem. Not that you walk away and say, I got to get better at that. I guess that was a terrible present. You can give a bumbling, stumbling, awful presentation and you walk away thinking, oh, that's so embarrassing. I'll never do that again. And they'll say, that changed my life. Here's why. It's not that you are doing this so poorly. Now, don't hear me saying this. There's not a place to get better. We offer a class to say, hey, how would you, what questions could you ask? What? It's that apart from the grace of God, they can't even see. It's not good, even for you. Did you get saved the first time you heard the gospel? Whoo! That's good news. It happens sometimes. I got a friend that's a pastor way out on the West Coast. He said he was sitting under a tree on campus at Biola University, hardcore pagan. And somebody walked over to him and shared the gospel. And he was like, well, yes. And he said, the next week I was out there doing the same thing with everyone else. And now he's a pastor. That's the exception. God can do that. Most of you heard it, grew up with it, your parents said it, Sunday school teachers said it, you heard, and then all of a sudden at a funeral, you're like, how have I not heard this? Oh my goodness. God turned the lights on. We keep sharing the gospel. Do not get discouraged. It's not that you're so bad at this. It's that people are blind, spiritually blind. He says they're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Oh, it's worse. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ. They can't see it's good. It makes no sense to them. They can't see it's good. It makes no sense to them. They can't see that it's good. It makes no sense to them. And you're like, well, how does anybody get saved, Brad? Ooh, keep reading. Verse 6. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness. He's referring back to Genesis. How did we get what we got today? It went out of darkness and chaos and nothing, and God, ex nihilo, a little bit of Latin for you. Out of nothing, God spoke light and life into the darkness. If he can do it physically, trust me, He can do it spiritually, and he has to do it. God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness, into the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light, not just shining around us, shining where? In our hearts. In our hearts. They can't know it, they can't see it. They can't know it, they can't see it. But there was a moment when you saw it. Oh my word. Oh my word. And you understood it. Oh my word. So don't get hung up like, that person is the best person at sharing this, that, oh, we got to have them share with everybody. Nope. You're not just in a kingdom of life, light, if you're here and you're a Christian today. You have internal light that allows you to know and see what you could never know or see before. You couldn't know it, you couldn't see it. You couldn't know it, you couldn't see it. Boom! Oh, you do. So let me ask you, can you point to a moment, a season, a time in your life when it was lights out regarding the wonder and beauty and glory of Jesus? It's like, I don't understand. Why do they go on and on about this? I don't understand. Makes no sense to me. And then, boom, the lights went on. And you were like, oh my word, he's beautiful. This is glorious. This is such good news. I understand why they call it good news. I actually want this. Oh, can I have this? I want it. I see it. It's beautiful. That was God turning the lights on. Turning the lights on. That's how Paul describes salvation. It is the ability for the first time to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus, who now looks glorious to you. Trust me, he was always glorious, right? He was always glorious. You just couldn't see it. It's like suddenly being shocked. You know, if you got an old school basement that's just foul with water running and just yuck. You know, so often we have these beautiful finished basements. As I grew up, your grandparents, every basement was foul. You know, it's just like, oh, we got to go down there. You could creep down there in the dark and just not know how foul. You throw on the lights and you're like, oh my word. I see. You can see what you couldn't see before. You can understand what you never could understand before. And that's because darkness was not just a realm in which you lived. Darkness was your lights out heart condition of spiritual blindness. Blindness. In other words, your biggest problem, my biggest problem, was never the darkness around us, but the darkness inside us that kept us from seeing what is good and right and true. What's good? Oh, if there's darkness inside you, whew, you are really dark. Really, 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 really dark. That's how Paul described us back in chapter 4, remember? Back in chapter 4 when he describes before you were a Christian and came to faith in Christ. Chapter 4 verse 18. They were darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to hardness of heart. He's talking about an internal lights out heart condition of darkness, alienation, ignorance, and hardness against God. But God, just like he spoke light, can speak light into the darkness of a heart so that someone says, oh, I see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I understand this good news and I want it. I want it. I don't know why I didn't want it before now, but I want it. When you become a Christian, you belong to a new kingdom. You have a new identity. I stopped beating the drum of, don't hear me saying you can't care about other things, but I don't beat another drum louder than this in Christ. New kingdom, new identity, woo, and I just see things I was never able to see before. More of right here and more of what's coming. More of right here and more of what's coming. But as I close, I want to touch on something that people struggle with a lot. Just 2 weeks ago, I got an email from someone and they said, I was listening to a pastor and he literally said, if you don't know the day, the time that you got saved, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You better know the date, the time. I wish I'd kept track of that. Like, I didn't know that was so important. I think it was 1973. I think, no, it wasn't because I was seven. I was born in 63. See, I don't even know. Ah, I'm lost. No, I'm not. That is not the most important thing, that you think you know the date and the time, and therefore that's my little card I pull out. Well, here's my date, here's my time. Mic drop. A lot of that, you guys, I'm gonna step on some toes. That line of reasoning is largely founded in this understanding of, well, just pray the prayer and ask Jesus in your heart. Just pray the prayer, ask Jesus in your heart, and you're saved. Can people mouth a prayer? Can people walk an aisle and shake a pastor's hand? Can people decide to get saved because their wife elbowed them so many times? Go, you heathen, go, go. People can do all kinds of things and say, that was my day, that was my time. And they are no more saved or born again than the man in the moon. Now they're in a worse condition because they have false hope. That's not what the Bible teaches. You do not have to know the day or the time. But oh, listen to me. You do know, whew, I see now. I see what is good and true and right. I have an awareness of a new kingdom. I have an awareness of a new identity. I have a new desire to follow a new king and live for him. The Bible never made sense. There's still places that are confusing that I'm working on understanding, but so much of it is absolutely clear to me now. I never wanted to be around the people of God. Yuck. I want to be with the people of God. You know you're saved because it's more about fruit. Can you see? Do you have new desires? Do you love him? Have you given your life to him? And so stay with me since we've been taught about light. So point number four, you don't have to know the exact moment of your salvation or the exact moment that God turned the lights on. I've been taught about lights, right? And that God did something. But let's stay with that light illustration and think about a sunrise, right? With a sunrise, you guys, every morning without fail, and I do love mornings, coffee, Bible, morning, ooh, one of my favorite times. Every morning without fail, there is a specific point at which we go from darkness to light, from night to day. If you want to pull up your little weather app, you can see the exact minute they're going to say, that was it, that was sunrise. And we love the spectacular, dramatic versions, right? If you've got a cloudless, clear, oh, last week we were able to go away to Lake Norris and stay in a home that had a deck that looked at the lake. So I'm out there early and I want to see that sun. Boom! Brilliant. It didn't happen. But we had day. I just wasn't sure when. We eased into it. I was like, okay, bummer, alrighty. You know, as human beings, we love the dramatic, spectacular, take your breath away. We go from darkness to bam, hot pink, orange splash across the horizon. But here's where it gets more painful. Oh my goodness, we love it so much that we're willing to pay big bucks for that moment. And so if you've paid for the dolphin sunrise cruise in Florida? It's pretty disappointing when you're like chopping through the waters. A, you'd never saw a dolphin. And B, you weren't exactly sure when night turned to day. But you do know you got up so early to get to the stinking boat and get the kids ready, way earlier than you wanted to on vacation. And you paid money and they don't give you a refund. I know that wasn't glorious and there were no dolphins. And we're not sure when day arrived. Here you go. No, they keep your money. But the brochure said, dolphin, sunrise, cruise. Or Haleakala mountain bike ride. So this is personal. I've never done the dolphin cruise because dolphins don't do that much for me. But when we were in Maui, Vicki and I paid pretty big bucks for the Haleakala mountain sunrise, which meant we got up like hours before dawn in thick darkness to pack our lunches, to make our way to the bike place, to wait for everyone else to get there, to hear all the instructions, to load the bikes in the shuttle, to ride in the shuttle to the top. Only to have a day where we were trapped in a cloud coverage and fog that was so thick they told us to put our little slickers on. It wasn't raining, but the air was just wet. You know what I mean? And we never were sure when day had dawned, but it did. And then they just said, go. Get on. No, they didn't. We still had to ride our bikes down in that. Oh, I'm supposed to be seeing just unbelievable, breathtaking. Instead, I'm going down in so much fog. It's terrifying. And now tour buses are coming up. And he read us the riot act. He's like, you got to stay in your lane, stay in your lane. People die every year. They're just in the front of the grill of a bus every year. And I don't normally ride a bike down a mountain. It's like there was no gears needed. It was just brake, 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 brake. I mean, hair pin turns in thick fog, my little slicker blowing in the wind, and buses going, wah. I've never been so terrified. And then I thought, I was like, make it stop, make it stop. When will we come to the end? And then I thought, we paid for this. We paid for this. It did not give me the breathtaking version the brochure promised. But here's my point. Night had turned into day, but we weren't sure when. Some of you have that dramatic, glorious, you know when God turned the lights on. Oh my word, you know when it happened. You know where you were, and you will never get over it. Praise God. But some of you, it was a gradual dawning. Can that happen? Oh yes. It was a process over time. That suddenly, even C.S. Lewis, I love C.S. Lewis. His testimony is, I got in the sidecar of my brother's motorcycle. And when we left for the zoo, I was not a Christian. But at some point, by the time we arrived, I was a Christian. But see, he had been pondering these truths. He had been wrestling with these truths. He had been examining the scriptures. He had decided, I'm a literature professor. I take literature seriously. Why have I never examined the Bible the same way I examine Greek mythologies? It was a process. He couldn't tell you exactly when, but he knows. He went from darkness to light, and then God used him to write some great stuff. Some of you, it was a gradual dawning and a process from dark, more and more light, less and less darkness. But you know, he moved me from darkness to light. I have a new identity, new desires, ability to see things, longings for things I never wanted before. I'm saved, but I couldn't tell you the exact moment this happened. What about you today? What? You're sitting in church. Yay. What do you have? Are you still trying to be a Christian? Or do you have what Paul's talking about? I belong to a new kingdom. I have a new identity. I see things I never saw before. And because I know what he's done for me, now I put forth effort to live for him. But it's never good day, bad day. Oh, today he loves me because I did really well. He doesn't. His love for me is based on his son. And it doesn't waver. It never changes. I am in Christ. I am forgiven. I have been made right with the God of the universe. My sins were placed on him. And the handwriting that was against me, the debt that was against me has been paid. And now all of Christ's righteousness and obedience has been applied to my account as if it is mine. That's what I'm resting in. That's what I'm trusting in. What about you? You can have that today. Today. If you've been like, I say that, I'm trying to be a Christian. You can have today new kingdom, new identity, new ability to see by grace alone, through faith, not works, alone, in Christ alone plus, nothing. Say it louder,
nothing.
That's why it's called the free offer of the gospel. That's why it's called good news. Oh Lord, thank you for your son. Oh, Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, this is the most incredible message that is unlike anything we have in our world. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done in your son that enables lost, lights out sinners to be saved, to be called saints, to be adopted into your family, to be given a robe of righteousness, an inheritance that can't be shaken or taken, a renewed mind, eyes that can see this world differently. Right here, right now, and long distance eternity. Oh God, thank you. Use us to proclaim the excellencies of you who called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And we'll trust you and we'll pray for you to turn the lights on, to speak light into dark hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.